Nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor, David, for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
So let's just pray, should we? So, Father God, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning, that you would draw us closer to you, that your presence would be real, and that we would be more and more the people you desire us to be. Amen. So, sort of the verse is sort of Jesus, Prince of Peace. And I don't know what you think about when you think about peace. Maybe it's the absence of war. Maybe it's sitting still and quiet in your garden. Sort of maybe it's the freedom from pressure of work or from friends. Maybe it's just being sort of on your own. And that's sort of what you think of when you think of peace. See, people try and find peace in lots of different ways. Some use substances. Some use activity. Some use holidays. But the truth is, no matter how much you seek peace, true lasting peace is only going to be found in Jesus. But you see, the peace that Jesus talks about is a peace that the world can't understand. And why is that? It's because it's not a peace that can be found in stillness and just quietness. It isn't a peace that's found just when there aren't any difficulties. Jesus is talking about a peace that is found in the midst of the storm, in the midst of difficulties, in the difficulties of this life. Because in this world, as Christians, we're in enemy territory. We are constantly sort of at war. And I don't mean war sort of with people, but war against the things of this world. Jesus said sort of, in this world we will have troubles, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. And in 1 John 2 verse 15 it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If you do love the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. When the Bible talks about the world, it's not talking about sort of the people next to you. It's not talking about God's creation. It's talking about the world's systems, its popular opinion, the media, the culture, the way of doing things, what everybody does every day. And what we will do too if we're not conscious about the way we live in. We can so easily be swept along with what the world does, with what the world says we should do. So in this world, if we are trying to follow God's ways of love, grace and mercy and forgiveness, we will be swimming against the tide. So that's not what the world thinks. The world doesn't want to forgive. The world wants vengeance. The world wants justice. The world wants us to live the way it does. But sometimes for us, if we're going to live God's way, it's the exact opposite. of the world. So we have to be aware of what we are sort of up against. We've got sayings such as that we take to be true, i.e. it doesn't matter what you do as long as you don't hurt anybody. It doesn't matter what you believe, it's your truth. But that's not what God says. There is only one truth, and it's his truth. It's not ours. Also, there's the accepted morals and practices sort of the world. They're not God's standards, but they're the world's. And if we're not careful, we just get swept along like everybody else. And the whole value system of what the world is telling you is important. Is it important that you have those shoes? Is it important that you have that car? You know, so it's telling you that you have to have certain things. And we're bombarded by it all the time. We're up against it. And we've got to remember that we are sort of in a battle. It's not, oh, just we can sail along. Because if we sail along, we will become just the same as everybody else. And that's not what God wants for us. So we've got to be really aware. Sort of just think what a normal day might bring you. So if you get up in the morning and you turn on the news and sort of there's war, there's earthquakes, and there's a possibility that we might sort of be in conflict with Russia and all these things, and sort of that can cause anxiety. That's not sort of what God has for us. And then on the way to work, sort of we've got drivers that decide to cut us up, or a pedestrian that decides to just dive in front of us. And sort of you can feel sort of the anxiety building again. And then you're at work and sort of people want to get one up on you because they want to sort of be in charge. You know, and then sort of on the way home you go into the shops and sort of somebody's got more change than they should have done and they just pop it in the pocket and you think sort of, ooh, would I have done that? You know, and it's sort of so easy. And then you get home and you watch a TV programme that's full of the world's standards and it's right in your living room. Sort of the language, sort of the morality or immorality, however you want to look at it. And we just sort of let it drift over us. We're not always aware. So I remember I was watching a series which I really enjoyed called Dexter. And I don't know how many of you have watched it, but I really enjoyed this program and I was watching it sort of quite a bit. And then suddenly it hit me. I was actually really liking this character who was a serial killer. Granted, he was killing the bad guys, but it wasn't really sort of, and God really spoke to me. I shouldn't have been enjoying that. And it just sort of, good grief, how did that happen? And as much as I wanted to watch it, and I did, I really wanted to watch it, I stopped. Because I really felt God was saying, sort of, no, you know, you're really pushing it too far. And sort of, and as I've been preparing this, it's like, yes, and have I let things drift again? You know, have I let things drift again as I start to think, well, and I was watching that last night. And it's like, you know, how much rubbish can we actually sort of take in and think we're going to be the people that God wants us to be? How much rubbish can we take in and expect to know the peace that passes understanding? Because sort of to be in the kingdom of peace is to actually remain in Jesus and his words to remain in us. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace to the earth. He is our peace on the earth. But we will always have wars and rumours of wars. So if we're not remaining in him and his words are not remaining in us, then we are going to lose sort of the peace that passes understanding. It's like, for example, being in the British Embassy in a country that sort of is after you personally to put you on trial. If you're sat in the British Embassy, no matter how much the country wants to get you, you are safe in the embassy. But if you step out of the embassy That country can arrest you at any time. You know, we need to remain in Jesus. We've got to stay in him and let his words stay in us. So you might say that coming to church on Sunday and sort of to a midweek meeting will be enough to sort of get you through the week. So if you think about it, that might be a maximum of 3 hours a week we spend at church out of 168. You know, that's a really small amount, isn't it? Can you imagine 168 hours minus three of being bombarded sort of by the standards of this world, by what's going on around us? You know, if we only have these couple of hours a week, we're not going to be sort of standing strong. You know, sort of we need to supplement sort of what we do at church, sort of with our worship at home, sort of with sharing things with other Christians, you know, sort of with fellowship, with prayer, with reading the Bible. And sort of, and Christian music, you know, it's so, I go to a singing for fun group, and when you actually read the words of the popular songs, they're quite shocking. I was surprised. We were singing some of these songs and it's like, really? Is that what I've been listening to for sort of years? And I just thought it was a great song. And sort of, because it just drifts in. We're not sort of conscious. We're not aware. And we've got to be aware of what is going on around us. You know, I've also started playing Scrabble Go because I quite like Scrabble. And sort of the adverts on all the time. So you play sort of a couple of words and then you get these adverts bombarded at you. And they're only for games. They're for yet more games. And it's like, it's almost like drawing you in. Well, it is. I mean, and I'm not sort of an addictive personality, but it's like, oh, and sort of we could try that game and try that game. And you think how much time is going to be sucked away just by doing things that are just time wasters in a way. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, sort of a game isn't good. Of course it is. But sort of just the conscious draw, you see, I've seen people sort of, they get on the phone immediately and it's sort of like, you know, or you're playing sort of Candy Crush constantly, you know, and it's sort of like, yes, but where is my mind being directed? Where is my heart being directed? We do need to supplement our spiritual growth at home. But we're not only at war with the standards of the world and the influence of the world, we're also at war sort of with the flesh. The Bible says the world, the flesh and the devil. You know, and sort of we're at battle with ourselves. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. You know, and we can tell if it's sort of us that are getting in the way of God, in that if your attitude is, I want, I feel, I think, you know, because we do. We think sort of, oh, it's all right for me to do that. I want to do that. But sort of, it's God's standards that he asks us to live by. It's not what I want, it's what God wants for me. And you know, and that can be hard for us. Especially seeing sort of the world's telling us all the time, no, it's fine. It's fine to do what you want. As long as you don't hurt anybody, really doesn't matter. But it does. It does matter because God made us and he knows how we function best and he wants the best for us. So then we also find, don't we, that sort of we can have quarrels and conflicts and that's all because of us. Sort of our own attitudes. So it says in the Bible, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts amongst you? Do you think they just happen? No, they come because you want what you want. You want your own way. You lust after what you don't have and you'll risk violence to get it. That sounds really dramatic, doesn't it? You'll risk violence to get it. You know, sometimes we do, we'll sort of fight for what we want. And it's not what God wants for us. So we've got to watch what we do and watch what we think. And I don't know if you know the story about the two dogs. Sort of, it's an old story. Sort of, there was a guy who had a black dog and a white dog. And it's not PC because he actually used to fight these dogs. And so, but he always bet on them and he always knew which dog was going to win. So one week it would be the black dog would win. And he would have bet on it and he'd have got it right. And then sort of a couple of weeks later, the white dog would win. And in the end, this guy went up to him and said, "Why is it you always know which dog is going to win?" And he said, "I know which dog is going to win because it's the dog I feed the most." So if you're feeding your fleshly nature, then that's going to win. If you're feeding your spiritual nature, that's going to win. You see, sort of, we need to be sort of following Jesus and his words and his truth if we want peace. He isn't the Prince of Peace of everything's fine, it doesn't matter what you do. He is the Prince of Peace for the kingdom. And the kingdom has God as its head and its ruler. And we are the subjects. We are not the king of our kingdom. God is the king of the kingdom. So we can't just do whatever we like if we want to remain in peace. So we've also not only got the world and the flesh to contend with, we've got the devil to contend with. And sort of some people see the devil under every bush, which is not correct because he can only be in one place at one time. And sort of some people say that the devil and demons don't exist at all. You know, but we need to watch because he is out there to use us to sort of hurt one another. Sort of the devil came to kill, steal and destroy. And sort of what he wants to do, what he enjoys doing, is to try and separate God's people, to try and cause quarrels amongst us, to try and cause hurt and harm. You know, but sort of we are told not to be unaware of the devil's schemes. You know, sort of, and that we have one within us who is greater. You know, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You know, sort of, and what is even better is that if we submit to God, note the submit to God bit, sort of all that we've got to do is resist the devil from any temptation. He will run from us. But the key is that we are to submit to God. So it all boils down really to being, abiding in Jesus and his words abiding in us and submitting our lives to God. You know, because if we do that, we are then in the place where we can have that peace that passes understanding, that passes sort of anything. So in the midst of the storm, you can have peace. In the midst of difficulties of life, you can have peace. Because that's what Jesus gives us. He gives us that peace that the world cannot understand. So I just want to read sort of Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So no matter sort of what you're going through, no matter what difficulties you face, as we sort of hand those things over to God, sort of that peace will dwell in us if we are abiding in him, if we are submitting to him, if we are letting his words remain in us. We are in God's kingdom. Let's not keep jumping into the kingdom of this world. Sort of let's remain and walk in the kingdom of God. Because that's where we will know Jesus as our Prince of Peace. And that peace will remain with us always, even to the end of time.
Thanks, Jan. Guys, why don't we just spend some time around our tables, if you're on your own, you know, to join in with somebody else. And just in that last verse where it just he just invites us to you know, to come around with prayer, thanksgiving, and just committing those things that are on our hearts, the places where, you know, we're not standing in a place of peace right now. And it could be really small stuff or it could be really massive stuff, guys. But, you know, at the end of the day, meeting him is where everything changes, isn't it? Where the Prince of Peace comes and sits in front of us and puts his hand on us and shares his truth, shares his promises, speaks into our situation, declares what he longs for over something. So I just really encourage us, why don't we come around that with one another again this morning, because he's got things that he wants to declare in our lives. He's got places he wants to bring peace. He's got words of encouragement either for us or for others to pass that on to this morning.